Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Tuesday, November 12th, Steve Jones Show. Welcome in, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, and Steve will be there in just a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia. On the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can get in contact with us by email, stevejones@wkok.com. You can find us on social media, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle @SteveJonesPSU, and subscribe to our podcast. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. Hit the subscribe button. That's it. You're good to go. We'll send the shows right to your smartphone and tablet. Take them with you. Listen to them anytime, anywhere. You can also, if you want to replay an interview that you heard in the past, want to catch it again, or if you want to tell a friend about an interview maybe you heard live, want them to replay it, well, you can go to stevejonesshow.com. Go to our podcast archive page. We got 3 months of previously aired shows there for you on demand. All right. So we're with you live till 5. We'll talk Philly Eagles coming up in a little bit with Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. We'll also replay a portion of today's James Franklin press conference from the media room in Beaver Stadium as the Nittany Lions have moved forward to prepare for Indiana. Noon kick Saturday in Beaver Stadium. We'll have a 10:30 a.m. airtime Saturday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with Steve Hammer, Matt McGloin, and Roger Corey. So we're with you live till 5. Then we'll have our late-day news roundup. Allie Stevens will be at the anchor desk at 5:06. And then Steve's back tonight at 6. Well, the Penn State Coaches Show tonight moved up two nights because of Penn State men's basketball on Thursday night. Have that for you here on WKOK as Patrick Chambers takes his team to Georgetown. So that'll be I believe it's a 6 p.m. tip on Thursday night here on WKOK. After 6 for sure with Steve and Dick Girardi. Coming up later this week, we will have a special high school football roundtable. The state of high school football here in the Valley, state of Pennsylvania, and across the country. So we look forward to having Steve lead that discussion with Kevin Herr, a.k.a. The Suit, our voice of Shikellamy football here on WKOK. Justin Michaels, our Lewisburg Green Dragons football analyst from 100.9 The Valley. He's going to join us at the roundtable as well. And lead football writer Todd Hummel from The Daily Item. He'll be stopping up to see us, too, for the roundtable on Thursday. And we're hoping everything will fall into place on Friday. The voices of Penn State. Steve will be joined by other Penn State broadcasters, including Jeff Byers, the excellent voice of Penn State wrestling. That is scheduled for Friday. Of course, we'll wrap up the week with our college and pro picks with Steve, myself, and Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. Well, running back Saquon Barkley, not 100%. He is still not going to accept being shut down with the Giants at 2-8 and the need to focus on the future. Barkley got an X-ray on his shoulder after the Jets game on Sunday. The shoulder is expected to be fine. He's also still trying to get back to 100% from the high ankle sprain that forced him to miss 3 games last month. Barkley's averaging just a little over 2.5 yards a carry in the 4 games since returning after averaging close to 6.5 yards a tote the first 3 weeks in September when he was healthy. Barkley coming off a career low 1 yard on 13 carries against the Jets.
Yeah, that's a low number.
That's a low number.
I mean, let's use Friday night play-by-play analysis. That's a low number.
Overheard and quotable?
absolutely. In fact, let's take it a step further.
Okay.
That's one is too shy of having three standing at the end. Oh, come on. You've got to catch on. You need to catch on.
Soaking it in.
Come on. No. We've already planned out our holiday gift. We've searched long and hard, and we found them.
That's right.
All right. So, I just want to tell you, we'll have fun today, tomorrow. Okay. And then, you know, we'll talk about Indiana coming up and so forth. Now, Thursday show and Friday show have come together. And this is going to be fun for me. Both of them. One is a lighter topic as opposed to a more serious topic. So let's get to the more serious one. And that is the state of high school football in the district. Pennsylvania is one of the few states in the country. And there's only a handful. I mean, I'm talking like there's fewer than five that actually have increased participation in football over the last 10 years. Pennsylvania is actually up 2%. But that doesn't mean it's up 2% in the district. So we're going to take, how much time are we going to take on Thursday? An hour? How long do you want to do this?
We can do the whole hour. I figured we'd have enough content to cover that.
Yeah, let's do the whole hour.
I was thinking, 4:06 to the end. Yeah,
4:06 to the end. Then I'll leave there and walk over to the arena because we're on at 6 o'clock. Okay. And it's walkable. I can walk over. So we'll do 4:06 to 6 o'clock, the whole hour, in our roundtable about what we're seeing with the state of the game. It's interesting. On Sunday night, James Franklin's been having the non-travel scrimmages, and he always does this. It's part of developing your players, developing your team. And somebody looked at me and they said, "Boy," he said, "did they used to have JV football here?" I said, "Yeah, they did, as a matter of fact." I said, "It ended finally in the early 80s. I want to say 83. 82 or 83, I think, was the last year of JV football at Penn State." And I was telling Joel, I said, "Look, Joel," I said, "they used to play four games a year of JV football." And he said, "Well, where'd they play it?" I said, "Well, they played in what we call the Flower Garden fields." And those fields were what happened to be go across Park Avenue. And you know where the Blue Band practices? Now the Blue Band building's up there. And the Blue Band has its own field of practice. There's now intramural fields between the Blue Band practice field and Park Avenue. That's where the Flower Garden field used to be. And I said, they used to play four games a year. Usually you go on the road for two and they play two here. And they play on Friday afternoons. He said, "Man," he says, "I think people would love to see, you know, these developmental scrimmages." I said, "Yeah, I can understand that." So now let's take it back to what we're going to talk about on Thursday. How many JV teams are being fielded right now on the high school level to help in the development of players? And are there enough guys to field JV teams? So those are some of the questions we're going to talk about. And what can be done, if anything, to increase participation. Right now, nationally, out of every 100 boys, football is still number one, according to the New York Times article. 14 out of every 100 happen to be participating in high school football. Number two is track. Then basketball is three. I'm trying to think. Soccer was four or five. Then wrestling was after that. I think baseball was fourth. So we're going to talk with Kevin Herr, Justin Michaels, And our thanks, by the way, to Todd Hummel, who's the lead high school football writer for the Daily Item. They're all going to join us for this one-hour roundtable. Open, opinionated discussion with the idea of basically we're going to sit around, we're going to brainstorm about this on the air. We're going to discuss what the issues are, what the problems happen to be. Is there any way to solve it? With the people that are around it every day, between Kevin, Todd, and Justin, they're around it every day. Then on Friday, from 3:35 to 4:30, because the King has to be on at the end, you know that. We have to pave way for the King, who,
demands,
by the way...
Demands.
I mean,
well, he is the man, so...
I understand that, but none of us had more than a princely record this week. Nobody had a King's record this week.
Ooh, baby, you and I are gaining ground.
Oh, here we come, charging to the finish.
Surge!
Yeah.
Here we go.
But we're going to have on a roundtable as well on Friday entitled The Voices of Penn State. We will have on the show... From Minnesota, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Ice Hockey, Brian Tripp. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of wrestling. And someone that everybody in the Valley knows because of the great work he did with Bucknell Women's Basketball, the new voice of Lady Lion Basketball, Justin Antwiel, will join us on the show. And I'm going to call it the Voices of Penn State. An opportunity to get to know them better. How they got into the respective sports they're in now, their passion of it, how they cover it, how they interview, how they go about their job, how they prepare for it, their thoughts on their respective teams in this particular season. How do you handle the highs? How do you handle the lows? And that'll be on Friday's show. So, I think one will be enlightening. I think that both will be enlightening in their own way. You know, Brian and Jeff certainly have a lot of fans out there, and they should. They're great at what they do, and Justin's going to gain fans as he goes because he's outstanding at what he does. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to hear, you know, hear them, the voice of wrestling, the voice of men's ice hockey, and the voice of women's basketball, all sitting together in one table. So that's what we're going to do. The next month, we'll have another roundtable that will include Todd Sadowski and Jay and myself. And like we always do before the bowl game, we'll have my TV group on. We try to keep the show fresh as possible. I think the shows we're having on Thursday and Friday show us trying to do what we can to keep the show fresh. Yeah. You know, things that haven't been done before. You know, I'm talking about locally, but things that haven't been done locally before. So, looking forward to it very much. Should be a lot of fun. All right. We will take a break. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A pleasure to have you with us today. As we continue on the show, we'll hear James Franklin's, the first half of James Franklin's press conference at 3:35 today. And then we'll have more of it tomorrow. Along with Neil Coulong tomorrow on the Really Big Shoe. And then the roundtable on Thursday. And we'll take that right till 5. And then a quick pack job and then run to the arena. Fortunately, you can walk from the Hyatt over to the to Capital One. It's, it's like 2-3 blocks, but, you know. I have to be on at 6. I've got an hour to do it.
Well, we can compare it to like a brisk spring walk on the golf course.
No, I'll casually walk over. I'll have the pregame show already done. So pregame show's being done at 10:30 in the morning.
So, right after a morning shoot-around?
Okay. I mean, there'll be no issue there. I'll just walk over. Bob will have everything done. Dick will already be there. In fact, Dick will probably wait for me and walk over with me. And then we'll get in there, and then we'll see how they play against Georgetown. Good backcourt and a really good center. Omar, you're at 7. Very, very good. McClung in the backcourt, very, very good. So, I mean, it's going to be a good test. Georgetown's nationally ranked going in. But they may be nationally ranked going in. I think Penn State might be the better team. We'll see. But that'll be Thursday night at 6:30. We're on beginning at 6. That's why the talk show is tonight. Erica Dombach will be on the talk show tonight to talk about the women's soccer team making the NCAAs. They're going to be hosting Stony Brook Friday at 6 in the opening round of the NCAA tournament at Jeffrey Field. And it's also Military Appreciation Week. We'll have a segment on that tonight. Also, Todd Kulka on academics tonight. It's hard when I have Kulka on because I feel like he's looking over me the entire time and judging my academic record. It's bothersome. Actually, you want to know a piece of irony?
Sure.
You'll love this.
I will.
Kulka lives on Park Avenue. All right?
Okay. Not far from shore, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And when you go down Park Avenue, you see those 5 stone homes right in a row, right?
Oh, yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, he lives in one of them. Guess who built those homes? My father's uncle. My grandfather's brother built those homes. Philip Jones. P.D. Jones.
How far back do they go?
Oh, those go back into, I think he did this in the 50s. He actually got plans from Sears. And Todd actually lived in the house that my dad's Uncle Phil and Aunt Carrie lived in. Before then, they moved over to Curtin Street, which when I came to State College for the first time in the early to mid-60s, I think the first time I came to State College, I think it was like 64, 65. I think it was 7 years old, so it was 65. And Rip Engel was the coach. Have you seen that picture of my brother and me outside Beaver Stadium when we were kids, right?
That's right, I have.
Right. Well, we stayed at Phil and Carrie's house, but that's when they lived on Curtin Street. Well, Phil built those 5 houses, my dad's Uncle Phil, on Park Avenue, and Todd actually lived in the one that Carrie and Phil lived in. Then he moved. He moved one down from there. Family needed more room. They actually found the plans in the attic.
Huh. Next time I'm on that stretch of Park Avenue, I'll go a little slower and check out all 5 as I cruise back.
Well, he was in charge of the herd at Penn State. I remember Joe telling the story about how Rip Engel loved farms. He said the barns are so clean at Penn State you could eat off the floor, right? So Rip told him. And Joe walked in one day and went, oh. Right. I didn't have the heart to tell Joe that my father's uncle was the guy in charge of the herd.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Neil Coulong will join us. I believe we have Matt Leon today, too. We'll do that in the next half hour. This half hour, like we do every week. James Franklin from his press conference earlier today.
You know, I think the biggest thing that summarizes the game is we did fight extremely hard for 4 quarters, had a chance to win at the end. But we had turned the ball over 5 times all year, and we turned the ball over 3 times on the road against an undefeated team in the Big Ten on the road. Had as tough of a 4-game stretch as probably anybody in the country. Did not play well enough to win. Got to give Minnesota credit, but we did not play well enough to win. Getting into Indiana, Last time Indiana found a way to get a win over Penn State was in 2013, right before we got here. We've had pretty competitive games with these guys. They've been pretty competitive with everybody. And obviously this year they're having a heck of a year. I think Coach Allen's done a great job. I really like Tom. He's got great energy. I think he's in it for the right reasons, cares about the kids, and is building that program the right way. So it's great to see him having the success he's having in year three. Coming into the year, they had a good amount of returning starters, 20 returning starters. 21 returning starters, 9 on offense, 9 on defense, and then 2 specialists. You look at them on offense. Coach DeBoer has done a really good job. You know, he's got a really interesting resume. As you guys know, I try to kind of have an understanding of who their coaching staff is, where they got them from, their background. But he's got a pretty extensive background, has been very, very successful. You know, obviously they were able to hire him away from Fresno State, has done a really good job. They're throwing the ball all over the field. They're a spread offense, running the ball probably less than what we have seen from Indiana over the last few years, but they're throwing it extremely well. Predominantly 11 personnel team, but they'll go 11, they'll go 12. You know, they mix in empty, they go unbalanced, you know, they do it all. Very impressed with offensive lineman number 68, Hunter Littlejohn. Stevie Scott is a kid from our region. He's a New York kid who's really played well. Played well last year for him. Is playing well right now. He's 6'2". He's 231 yards. Got over 700 yards rushing. But he's a nice complement to what they do offensively. And then, you know, they got a young man, Wop Filier, if I'm saying it right, number one wide receiver, who's having a really good year. I think coming into this year, he had like 57 career catches, and he's got 59 this year out of Tampa, and is making a bunch of plays. They got co-defensive coordinators in Mark Hagan and Kane Womack. I think Coach Womack is the one who calls the defense, but they do have co-defensive coordinators. They play hard. They're a four-down defense. They do play a variation of robber coverage, which we don't see a whole lot. And then obviously mix in quarters and some man coverage as well with blitz behind it. You know, it's interesting to look at their team and how their team is built. I know Coach Allen had spent some time obviously at South Florida and been a high school coach in Florida as well, but they are heavy, heavy Florida. I think 8 out of 11 starters on defense are from Florida. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi is a big, you know, big part of their team and who they are. Their linebacker, Raekwon Jones, out of Florida, is really a good player. We've been impressed with him. Also, number 9, Marcelino Ball out of Roswell, Georgia. He changed numbers from last year, but he's playing extremely well. And then Taiwan Mullen is a true freshman corner out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, who's playing really well. We've been impressed with him. Their special teams coordinator, William Inge. I've known William for a long time. He's been there now for 7 seasons. They're doing a good job on special teams. Again, wide receiver number 1, Philip Filer, shows up again, and so does wide receiver number 10, David Ellis. So it's gonna be a really good opportunity. It's going to be a real challenge. They're coming in here playing with a lot of confidence, ranked in the top 25, so on and so forth. It's kind of how our schedule's been all year long, and I know our guys are looking forward to get back into the stadium and play a game. So open up the questions.
Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle.
You mentioned Saturday what you learned about yourself after your team's first loss each of the last 2 years. Is there anything else you learned or your staff or players learned that might help everyone move forward after Saturday's loss?
Well, we had a bunch of discussions about it on Sunday, and had a bunch of discussions about it on Monday as well, our day off. I think obviously the most important thing is finding the best way for your team to make the corrections, and that's all of us, coaches, players, everybody, make the corrections, not be defensive, grow from it, learn from it, and then put it to bed and move on. You know, we do those things on Sunday. We work very hard to try to do those things after wins. We work very hard to try to do those things after losses. And we're going to need to do that this week. So we approach it like we always do. I'm looking forward to seeing us out there on the practice field today, flying around and practicing hard. You know, one of the things I did mention, I think I might have mentioned to you guys, is, you know, that, you know, everything can be used, you know, as fuel. You know, when you win, the confidence is used as fuel. When you have setbacks, that adversity can be used as fuel. You know, that's how we're approaching it and going to move forward. But I think, you know, I talked to a bunch of the players as well, and you know, I think they kind of feel the same way.
Derek LaVarce, Wilkes-Barre Times leader.
James, Saturday was the first time in a while you had a tough time in the red zone. After watching the tape, were there any common threads you saw there on the drives that didn't end in touchdowns, or what stood out to you there?
Yeah, we've been one of the better red zone teams in the country. We did not do that on Saturday. You know, we had one play where we snapped it right when the clock was running out, where they probably could have penalized us. We had another one where I had to burn a timeout. We did not have a sense of urgency, you know, with our operation like we normally do. And on the road, that's always more challenging. Everything takes a few seconds longer. So I think that throws you off a little bit. But we did not do a good job of that all day long. They obviously had a plan to make sure that they were going to play some bracket coverage on KJ and Pat, which is smart. That's where the one penalty came from that they called the offensive pass interference, because they were playing a bracket coverage, a guy on the outside and a guy on the inside. You know, but I thought they played hard. Even when we, you know, attacked them on the outside one-on-ones, their corners made plays. You know, but we had some opportunities that we did not capitalize on. So, you know, we've been as good as anybody in the country all year long. And obviously, I don't think Saturday is representative of who we've been.
Mark Wilgenrich, Allentown Morning Call.
How would you assess the contributions of the wide receivers beyond KJ and Jahan Dotson this season?
Yeah, we got to be more consistent. You know, there's no doubt about it. We have to be more consistent. You know, I think obviously Pat's done a really good job, and Bowers has done a good job, and I think our running backs have contributed more than years past. KJ's obviously, you know, making plays and was, you know, made some tough catches on Saturday. But we got to be more consistent, you know, at that last position. There's no doubt about it. But you know, that gets spread around. I mean, we've also missed some throws. You know, we threw some balls into the ground. We threw a post to open the game that we got to lead the guy so he can run away with a corner on his back hip. You know, it's that gets spread around. We got to find ways to get those guys involved in a little bit more early in games as well. I think it's all of it. But at the end of the day, when the ball comes, you know, you got to make the plays. And we have all of the faith and confidence that we can do it and that they can do it. We just got to bring it out in them more.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record.
Your secondary or your pass defense, I think, is ranked 10th in the Big Ten. Is there something that is the biggest issue there? Is that surprising to you that maybe that's been more of a problem than you think?
Well,
you would have thought at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think when you tie that statement with Saturday, I get it. But I think you have to be careful with statistics sometimes, because when you're as good at stopping the run as we are, then obviously people are going to throw the ball more. So I think in general, we've been pretty good. This past Saturday, you know, we didn't play our best football. So, I understand the point you're making, but when you tie that stat, which, you know, it's like, give you a perfect example. A lot of times the guy that leads the conference in tackles, and I'm not being specific about anybody when you look at stats, I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying, but over my 24 years, a lot of times the guys that lead the conference in tackles, they're on a team where the defense is on the field the most. It's not necessarily, you know, that they're the best linebacker or the best safety or in the league. So I just think you have to be careful with stats. There's no doubt they tell a story. I think overall we've been pretty good this year in pass defense. But we've also been really good in rush defense, which has forced people to pass more. I would not have thought going into that game that we would have rushed for more yards early in the game like that, and that they would have been as successful as they were throwing the ball. That was our game plan, obviously, was to force them into throwing situations, and they did a very good job with it. There's no doubt about it.
Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer.
What was the mood of the team when you met with them on Sunday, and are you concerned at all about anybody losing confidence over what happened on Saturday?
We're 8-1. We're one of the best teams in the country. Probably doesn't feel that way around here right now, but we dealt with it. We handled it. I mean, obviously, when you have success and you win, you're more confident. And when you have setbacks and you lose, it challenges that. But we got a resilient group of guys and a resilient coaching staff. And although we need the time to prepare, Saturday can't come soon enough.
Mike Gross, Lancaster Newspapers.
What, I realize it's only Tuesday, but what have you seen, what have you, body language, things that guys have said, things that guys have done that tells you that they've processed the loss and gotten right back to the 1-0 this week thing that you always want?
Yeah, today will really tell me, where we're at. It's hard to determine that on Sunday in a walkthrough, and really what we do on Sundays, it's hard to really tell that. Mondays, we don't really see them much. They're on their own, and we're in the submarine watching tape and trying to put the game plan together. So today, will give me a pretty good idea. We have practiced well all year long. I expect us to practice well today, and I would also anticipate that we probably have even a little bit more of a chip on our shoulder than we've had. But I do feel pretty strongly. We've practiced well all year long.
Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune.
When you went back and watched the film, what was your evaluation of Sean Clifford's overall performance?
Yeah, I thought he played a gutsy, gutsy performance. I thought he played really hard. He made some big-time plays. He, handled adversity. He missed some throws that he typically makes, both from accuracy standpoint and also from a decision-making standpoint. And, he's been fantastic. I think he's probably, although probably people don't want to admit this, he's probably played better than anybody anticipated him coming into the year. I'm very proud of him. Very, very proud of him. One of the things I did talk to him a little bit about is, I think his greatest strength can also be his greatest weakness. And a lot of us, I think, are built like that. I know I am. He cares so much that he's got to funnel that energy the right way. I think sometimes he's maybe too amped up. Probably could use to take a deep breath and be a little bit more poised. But it's because he cares so much. He cares so much. It's very, very important to him. But I think if you watch the tape, he made some big-time plays. He made some impressive plays, but he missed some. He knows that. I know that. I'm not stating anything. I think one of the things that's I think difficult sometimes is you come in here and, I think a lot of times our press conferences are compared to maybe professional sports, and this isn't professional sports. So, I'm just very careful in what I say, because I think we forget sometimes, although my guys are 6'6", 290 pounds, they're still, growing, maturing young men. So, I just, you know, it's one thing to have conversations in private about things that we need to get better of and be critical. It's another thing to come out in a public setting and do it as well. But I couldn't be more proud of Sean. I know after the game he took it very hard. But we'll be better because of this. I'm determined and believe that we'll be better because of this.
Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror.
James, Micah Parsons did not start Saturday. First, is there any information you can share about why? And maybe even more importantly than the why, is what impact does it have on the overall team when one of your best players and team leaders gets himself into any kind of trouble for any reasons and has to be disciplined?
Yeah, obviously when you're not playing starters – it has an impact. We were down a starter for the entire game, and Micah didn't start the game, but played starter reps. It definitely has an impact. Getting into why, once again, I'm not going to do that, as you guys know. I will say it was a behavior modification. But that's about as far as I'll get into it. But I also want you guys to understand, Micah really has been good. He's doing really well in school. This is all new to him. It's a big change. The amount of structure, the expectations, the standards is different. 99.9% of the times he's been good. I think obviously whenever you don't have your best players in the game for any reason, it has an impact.
We'll open up to questions here in the room. Raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you.
And that is James Franklin's press conference from earlier today. We're going to have part two tomorrow, including tomorrow him talking about the two-point conversion. Again, as I said before, it is... If you thought at the moment it was chasing points, that's fine. You can think that. You're entitled to your opinion as you watch the game. And I have I had a different opinion of it because I take myself back to what I was thinking in the moment. Okay, to assess it in post game, and I've seen people assess it in post game. I've heard their opinion of Now you see how it played out. They could have kicked an extra point there. Then they would have scored a touchdown. Then those two times they went down, they kick a field goal, they win. You can't do that. The decision is made in the moment. It's not made post-mortem where you look back and say, you know what, we should kick the extra point here because, you know what, we're going to get a touchdown and two opportunities of field goals. You can't do that. It's made in the moment. Well, in the moment, I looked around and I thought, this makes total sense to me. 4 minutes to go in the third. You're down five. If you hit it, now you're down a field goal. You score a touchdown, you're up four. I'm thinking this while Jack was talking. I mean, it doesn't take long to do the math. And you're also facing a team that is trying to make this a low possession game. So you ask yourself, how many more possessions do I have in me in this game? It's not going to be unlimited. And all that went into my thinking of, yep, I can see what they're doing. This makes sense to me. That's what I was thinking in the moment. All right. I know what I'm thinking in this moment. We need to take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, you. It's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport, slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.